In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Chakma, John Senecal here for episode 124. Both of us are located in parts unknown. We can't tell you the undisclosed locations of our whereabouts, but we had to get together because obviously the Red Sox and Yankees play a weekend series, but that's not even really the story, in my opinion. And we can talk about the Red Sox if you want, but the truth is they're kind of where we thought they'd be. They're slightly above 500, but not really contenders. And some days they tease us thinking they might be, and then they go to Washington and lose 2-3. So this weekend, I don't think it'll make or break either team. I mean, do you think that if the Yankees sweep the Red Sox that they're all of a sudden going to contend?
No, I don't see that happening. At first, I don't see that happening since they haven't won a series since June 30th in like 2 months, basically. So I don't see that happening. A and B, If they were to do it, I still don't believe that they're going to be able to climb over any sort of mountain that they have to climb over. But also, that being said, Brian, I mean, don't count the Red Sox out because they're still, as we speak now, 3.5 out as opposed to the Yankees, which are double that out. So I would not, you know, discredit the Red Sox. Now, are they, again, a World Series team? No, but still, playoffs can happen. Playoffs, you know, anything can happen.
Sure. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I just feel like every time they sort of get me excited, then they lose a couple in a row. But the Yankees have to leapfrog the Red Sox, Mariners, and Blue Jays to get into the wild card. And you know, to make a full game up on all three have to lose on a night that the Yankees win. And it's just the odds are just against it. A lot of people have already said that it's just not going to happen. But for me, the conversation of today is about what do you do to, I mean, because I don't really, I mean, ultimately, I don't like the Yankees, so, but I mean, I've learned to really follow them and get into it. And to me, it's like, there's a question, A, do you fire Boone and or Cashman? And really, the question B is, who the heck would come in to replace them? And the question C is, which is we'll deal with later, is what do you do with the actual roster? So let's just start with you and Cashman and Boone. I mean, Cashman's been there for 25 years.
Right. Well, so this is the way I look at it, right? So in the past, I mean, everyone knows the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009, and that's what they gauge everything on. But they have been consistently making the playoffs and consistently having a winning record, other than a few blips, you know, in 2014 and 2008, where they had a few blips there that they didn't make the playoffs, but they still had a winning record. Now, when you look at it, if they finish this year without a winning record, it'll be the first time in 30 years, right? So that's the number I start to think about, right? And then you just said Brian Cashman's been with us like 25 years. So in the past, they had still made the playoffs, or they didn't make the playoffs, and the team was still kind of, I would say, labeled a success because it wasn't that, oh, you know, we finished with a losing record kind of thing. This year, I think the blood is definitely in the water. If the don't finish with a winning record, which we know they probably won't the way they're trending. And obviously we know they're probably not going to make the playoffs. So I think that would be a huge thing too. But I think you have to look at the historical factor too.
You're not one to equivocate though. You're basically telling me that if they go 83-81, he keeps his job. And that if they
I'm saying that based on history, they haven't been this bad in 30 years. So something's going to happen is what I'm saying.
So what do you do? You get paid the big bucks to make decisions that don't matter. Do you fire both of them?
I think it's time. Well, I said it in the past. I think it's time for Cashman to go. I thought it was time for Cashman to go last year. I said it. I just think he's worn out. He's been around forever. But at the same time, when he goes, I think a lot more people have to go because there's a lot of old blood in the Yankees front office. A lot of it. So, and I think it's something like if you – I would get rid of Cashman before I would get rid of Boone.
Interesting.
Boone didn't put the team together. Now, like that being said, let's start. You know, you want to talk about firing Cashman or firing Boone? I'm saying you get rid of Cashman, even though he has a longer contract. Boone only has one more year left on his deal, which is next year, 2024. I believe Cashman has two more years after this year. Yeah. That being said, I think Cashman's probably making like $5 million a year. The Yankees can eat that, right? That's not a big deal. They can eat the money. But that being said, you get rid of Cashman, who do you bring in? I mean, the flavor of the town is Derek Jeter, right? That would be the flavor, and that would be what everybody is talking about. He has some experience with the Marlins, good or bad, however you want to fluctuate. Some people say it was bad. Hey, they're still playing good, right? He got rid of he got the Yankees to take out his Stanton's contract, so he was doing something right.
Yeah,
I would lean to someone like that because he is, you know, pure Yankee. He's got the experience, he's loved, but at the same time, if the time comes where they're not winning, then you're starting to soil the sheets, right? And when you start bringing these icons in to run the operation.
Well, let me jump.
No scrub is just going to come in. You know what I mean? The Yankees aren't just going to hire some random.
No, and the truth is, well, one is, I mean, if Cashman goes, whoever comes in is going to bring in their own people. So that's just, that's sort of a given. So
And that's what I was getting at with Jeter. He's not going to come in and be like, oh, well, this guy stays, this guy, Levine, and all these other guys that have been there for 20-plus years, I think are going to have to go. And is that something that Steinbrenner is going to allow? Because he's been very comfortable. He basically grew up with these people, you know?
Yeah. He has to know that it – well, my thing is, first of all, I don't wish –
I don't wish,
you know, anyone getting fired. So I talk about hiring, and just because they make millions doesn't make it any less traumatic. So
right.
We're talking about this intellectually, but what I would say is that I think that there's no doubt that they have to have new manager and a new GM. And the thing about Jeter that interests me, and you can respond, is that the trend in baseball now, the GM is no longer the GM. Actually, the president of baseball ops is what the GM was 15 years ago, and then they hire a GM under him. So now in a lot of organizations, the GM is not the most powerful baseball operations person. So Jeter could come in really as a figurehead and just hire good people, and he could just sort of help out with the major free agent stuff and then let all the other data crap and minor league stuff go to other people. So a Jeter could come in because he doesn't want to work 60 hours a week. And so, I mean, he would need to have some sort of support underneath him. So in that sense, it could definitely work. And Boone is interesting because he's still relatively young, but there are managers younger than he is. But the trend is to bring in ex-players and have them execute the data-driven approach. So I don't know what ex-Yankees – like, I don't think they'd bring back, like, a Showalter Giardi type. I think they'd bring back –
no.
Someone younger than Boone who is in the management track who played for the Yankees.
Yeah,
who is,
unfortunately,
who is that
I think, unfortunately for Showalter, his tenure with the Mets, I think, is going to really hurt him just because they've just been so bad. And it's not so much his fault. It's just they just didn't, I don't know. Who knows? That's a whole different story. But if you're talking about people to replace Aaron Boone and that former Yankees, I mean, you could look at, I mean, Shelly Duncan is the AAA coach. I'm AAA manager now. He's a former Yankee, not like a super big name. You look at players like Paul O'Neill, who's in the front, who's a former Yankee, and he played in the, he's in the booth announcing.
I think he's too old for what the trend is.
Paul O'Neill and David Cohen. But I mean, honestly, here's my dark horse. My dark horse would be CeCe Sabathia. That would be my dark horse.
Because you like him.
I mean, look, he's a fiery guy. He's loved in New York. He's got the personality where he can jump down your throat, but he could also be the big teddy bear. He knows the game, and he's got a great story, and he's local. He's been there. He's stayed in the area, and he's super involved, and he's a great guy. I don't see why he couldn't do it.
Yeah, I just wonder with, you know, he's made his money. Why do they deal with the pressure? We know what the pressure has done to him. We know what sort of demons he's been battling.
You also got to remember, these guys are also still involved with the Yankees, right? And Derek Jeter all of a sudden is showing up at Old Timers Day now. You know, that's, I mean, granted, he's not exactly what you would label an old timer, but in the trend of these old timers games, they find guys that have been off the team for like 2 years, officially retired. You know what I mean? You're an old timer. And he's showing up, right? Now, he's not working for the Marlins anymore, so he can do that. But Derek Jeter's sales have changed a lot in the last couple of years. But he's also got four kids now, right? Three kids, two girls and a boy, I think so. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't want that kind of work and responsibility. I don't know.
Well, let's just sum it up, though. In your estimation, will those two be gone?
I think Boone keeps his job. I think Cashman goes. But the thing that scares me about the whole Cashman situation is how comfortable is the Steinbrenner family with him. I feel like it's almost like their security blanket or something. He's been around so long. It might not be. Eventually you're going to retire, right? I mean, you're not going to work there. I mean, even Vince Scully retired, right? So eventually he's going to have to retire, but I think it might be hard for them to let him go, but I would rather see him go than Boone right now. But Boone only got one more year. But bringing these former Yankees in is a slippery slope, man. It's a very slippery slope. It's a big difference between Aaron Boone, who hit one big home run for the Yankees to manage a team, as opposed to a Don Mattingly, you know, or a CC Sabathia, you know, or even a Paul O'Neill, you know. So yeah, it's a big difference.
I think the team's,
you know,
kind of
look what happened with Yogi. Look what happened with Yogi and Steinbrenner. Those guys didn't talk for years until they finally made up before he passed away. Yeah. You know,
I think you never know. I think you see it a lot in hockey, which is the bulk of, you know, sort of my exposure to professional sports since I covered the NHL for two seasons. But there is a point where the players just don't respond to a certain people. And I think Boone seems like a decent human. I just don't think he's got – doesn't seem like he has the ears of the locker room. And I think that's part of the problem. I think it just – he says the same thing.
I think he's checked out.
You think he's checked out?
Boone.
Wow. I mean, he certainly sounds like it.
Like you said, how many times can you say the same thing?
We play the sound bites every day.
They're unwatchable. They're literally unwatchable.
We say the same. We have play the sound bites after every game on our morning show on WTSC News Talk 1080, and they're just brutal. I don't even know why we play them anymore, because A, they say the same thing, and B, they're just so disheartening.
When you lose to Atlanta 5-0 in the one, I mean, obviously they only lost 3-0 or 2-0 in the final game, but the second game they lost 5-0. I was happy with that. I mean, that's how bad it is. Right. You didn't lose by like 19 runs to Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta just beat up on the two New York teams.
Shows you the difference. I think the Atlanta coming through New York the way they did shows you what modern baseball looks like compared to what old school baseball looks like. And I'm still not up to speed on modern baseball, but if you want to know what baseball is, successful baseball in 2023, you look at the Braves. That's what and they're not doing it, you know. They're not spending Dodger Yankee money, although they're not cheap, but I mean, it's really incredible what they've built. Hey, John, real quick before we say goodbye, you circulated it with Matt Sorois, who produces this and produces my morning show, and myself. We chat all the time on text, and you showed a picture of a Little League pitcher for which country?
From Chinese Taipei. Fan Chen Yun, and he is supposedly a 12-year-old pitcher. I mean, maybe he turned 13, but he's from Chinese Taipei. And boy, did this kid carve up Canada in the first round international game. He was throwing at one point, he hit an immaculate inning, and his last pitch of the immaculate inning was a high fastball, probably a foot and a half over the batter's head, that was at 81 miles an hour. And the kid swung at it because he had no idea what was coming. It was so fast.
So 81 from that. Yeah, so 81 from that distance translated to 105?
105 MLB. Yeah, and then if anybody that's listening watches Little League World Series, and a lot of people do. I mean, I don't know how much international they watch, but I'm sure the way this team is, they're really good. And this kid can hit too. They're probably going to go deep, so you might get to see them play against the U.S.
But he looks like he's 22 years old.
Yeah, he looked older than the coach when he did his post game interview, and I'm not kidding. Like everyone jokes about, you know, the Benchwarmers movie where I am 12, like. This kid legit looks like he's 20 years old. It's crazy.
Well, there's a history. There's a history of this kind of cheating, right? I mean, do you think there's any way he actually might not be?
I just don't see it at this stage of how. Well, ever since the Danny Almonte thing with the left-handed, what was he like 15? The left-handed pitcher from New York,
right?
He was like 15 at the time and just carving people up. I think they've tightened things up a little bit more. But man, I'm telling you, the dude looks like he drove the team to the game. Crazy.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, crazy. Go check out the picture online. It's Chinese Taipei, you said?
Chinese Taipei versus Canada, their opening round. But yeah, just Google Chinese Taipei pitcher, and you'll see him.
You'll see him.
You might see him on the Chinese national team for all we know.
Seriously. That's funny. Totally. All right, safe travels, John. You're listening to Fanbase, episode 124, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.